This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have mostly cloudy conditions right now, a high of 66, currently 60 degrees, and the five-day AccuWeather forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, the Dow is higher by 120 points or 0.5% in contention for a fresh record today. We're at 26,771. NASDAQ dipping lower off 6 and the S&P higher by 4. Also on track to perhaps end with a fresh record. The number to beat is 2931. We're at 2928. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is fractionally lower. All of that is better than what we saw with markets on the other side of the Atlantic, where there are growing concerns about Italy's financial stability. Closer to home, home prices increased in August. CoreLogic reports prices were up 5.5% over August of last year, and they're projected to be up another 4.7% by next August. Crude oil futures are little changed today, sitting at a multi-year high above $75. Car makers posting sales results for the last month, and in the case of GM for the last quarter, the news was an across-the-board disappointment for Ford, GM, Honda, and Toyota. The only car maker to beat expectations was Fiat Chrysler, thanks to a surge in sales of Jeep, SUVs, Ram pickups, and minivans. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we will be discussing one of our stories stocks of the day, Tesla, and on the grocery aisle, Kroger and Walgreens are now partners.
Travel Tuesday, is it risky to take a discount airline? Also, GM, it's been paying attention to what you're listening to on the radio. What are they doing with that data? All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Deerfield-based Walgreens and Cincinnati-based Kroger are teaming up to sell groceries. We're going to be covering that in our next segment right now. Tesla has beaten Wall Street estimates on its number of vehicle deliveries. Let's talk about the numbers with Craig Trudell, U.S. automotive team leader in Bloomberg, Detroit, in Michigan. And Craig, This company has been beaten up a little bit recently, and its owner. So what does this mean with the new numbers?
It sure has. And a lot of that beating up has been sort of self-inflicted, if you will, with Elon Musk, making a lot of sort of unforced errors on his own. But what these numbers really show is that in spite of all the distractions that he caused over the past quarter, whether it was sending tweets about taking the company private or otherwise misbehaving on Twitter or smoking marijuana on a podcast, all the while the company was making more cars and delivering more to customers. It was a bumpy ride, but they did get to an end result that was in line with what the company was saying it would, where the company was saying it would be. They delivered more than 50,000 Model 3s in the quarter, and also produced more than 50,000, and that's a significant amount of progress for them. They've not come close to 20,000 previously, so this is something that they've been waiting for really since they put this car out in the third quarter of last year.
So what's the next step?
Well, the next step for the company is to keep this momentum going, definitely, and then continuing to sort of clean up after Musk's mistakes. And one of the ways it's going to have to do that is to add a new independent chairman, and that's a result of an SEC lawsuit that was filed on Thursday of last week and was settled over the weekend. Initially, Elon Musk sort of bristled at the punishment that the SEC was seeking for his tweets over taking the company private, but he very quickly realized that he needed to settle this after the shares dropped by 14% on Friday. So Saturday, there was a settlement reached that Elon agreed to step down as chairman and pay a $20 million fine The company also paid a $20 million fine and is going to police his Twitter more closely going forward. So they've got to add a new independent chairman, and they've also got to add another new independent member to their board to kind of step up the governance of the company, which has been problematic today.
Kind of interesting, Craig, just the roller coaster over just the last couple of weeks with Tesla. Some investors 2 weeks ago really nervous about what was going to happen with this company, and now it looks like they've righted the ship.
Yeah, and you know, to be clear, they still have a long ways to go. You've heard Elon Musk talk about being in production hell. He said he's left that and is now in delivery logistics hell. I think a lot of sort of traditional or legacy automakers, if you will, have had some fun with sort of sitting from the cheap in the cheap seats and watching all this, because this is a matter of like operating in a very difficult business where it is not easy to have, thousands of parts come together, and in unison on an assembly line, get out of a factory. And once it's out of the factory, getting those to customers is difficult, especially when you've decided to sort of disrupt retailing and try to work around dealerships as Tesla has. So, we still have a long ways to go before we talk about Tesla as being on, this sort of scale that, a General Motors or a Ford is in this country. But they certainly are making, a significant amount of progress lately in making more cars and getting them into the hands of consumers.
Is Tesla at all able to rely on the fact that it is far ahead other automakers on the technology when it comes to electric automobiles, thinking that in spite of these challenges, Tesla may still be ahead of the game?
Yeah, I think they even if there is maybe legitimate quibbles about just how far ahead it is of other car makers, they certainly have this sort of halo that they are far ahead in terms of technology. They've really, autopilot has been a very controversial product for them. Their self-driving technology that is not actually self-driving, but it is a driver assistance feature that. That has sort of given this veneer of these cars being very futuristic. And, they've also just really succeeded in making electric cars sexy, where, people have, for the most part, had their pick of, very utilitarian, sort of boxy, weird-looking electric vehicles that are sort of science projects in the past. The Tesla Model S was a very good-looking sedan. The Model X, was another sort of well-received design. The Model 3 looks a lot like the S and is just a little bit smaller and eventually is going to be sold at, more affordable prices.
Thanks for joining us today. Craig Trudell is U.S. Automotive Team Leader at Bloomberg Detroit. And coming up, the nation's biggest grocery and drugstore chains are teaming up for a trial run.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Still to come on today's Noon Business Hour, another chance for you to win $1,000 about 4 minutes from now. Also, why GM has been listening to your radio listening. Now, though, North Suburban headquartered Walgreens is going to begin selling Kroger products in 13 stores near Cincinnati. That's where the grocery store chain is based. Let's get more on this partnership from Bruce Japson, Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes. Bruce, tell us about this. What's going on between Walgreens and Kroger?
Well, this is a really interesting deal for Walgreens and Kroger. I mean, first of all, it's going to, like you said, start in a market in the Cincinnati area where Kroger has its headquarters. But they're doing this more likely because Amazon, our friends at the retail giant, online retail giant Amazon, remember last year they bought Whole Foods. And so in addition to the fact that Walgreens and Kroger are going to do a store format that includes grocery, grocery including pharmacy, which we know a lot of grocery stores already have pharmacy, another aspect of this is the whole, online, ordering, delivery, and so forth. So Walgreens is under pressure. We know CVS Health is going to is trying to close the deal to buy the largest, the third largest health insurance company in Aetna. Amazon is getting into the grocery business, and Walgreens is under pressure to do some more innovative things. So you're seeing them do more of these pilots and tests. And so we'll probably know in a few months whether they're going to expand it.
And so this is essentially Kroger products inside Walgreens stores. They could expand it to other parts of the country. Are there other ways it could be expanded where you'll end up with produce and that sorts of thing, you know, those things?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And, you know, Walgreens a few years ago, they had a whole effort where they were in areas, you know, poor neighborhoods and so forth, where they're considered food deserts, that they were trying to put fresh products and snacks and so forth in their stores to begin with. So this is a little different than that because they're, you know, just going to, you know, try to cater to all things to all people. But it will be really interesting to see how it does unfold because they're saying it's a test. But I think Wall Street is kind of saying, hey, we want to know what the long-term strategy is. So they're under a lot of pressure to try to see how this all works and whether people will take to it.
Bruce, can we say that this trend is consumer-friendly or not?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, healthcare, as you know, pharmacy, people get their prescriptions and so forth. Everybody wants to order things via apps, and Walgreens has an app, and people want food delivery. They want prescription delivery. The industry jargon term they use is an omni-channel approach. And so they're doing it for the consumers, and they're also doing it for Wall Street because Wall Street wants to see some more action given that Amazon is pushing everybody.
Bruce, thanks for joining us as usual. Bruce Japsen is Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes, and you can hear his reports on health Monday evenings and Saturday mornings on News Radio WBBM. And still ahead, Travel Tuesday, ultra-low-cost airlines are gaining popularity in the U.S. and Europe, but there are reasons to be wary.
WBBM News Time, 12:24, a check of the markets from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, we are mixed, but the gains for the Dow up 136 points are pushing us near record-breaking territory, up 0.5% to 26,785. NASDAQ lower by just 4 points and the S&P up 4. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is unchanged. Crude oil futures are lower, down about 0.25% to $75.12 a barrel. Ford's light vehicle sales dropped 11% in September. That was a sharper plunge than analysts had figured they were going to have. Deliveries of SUVs and F-Series pickups declined. That was a big reversal from what we'd seen previous months. Toyota and Honda also reported larger than anticipated declines. General Motors, now posting sales on a quarterly basis, says they slid in the third quarter by 11%. Fiat Chrysler was the one car maker that posted better than expected September sales. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Mixed prices early in the day, and we've turned higher here late. Corn's been up as much as 3.5. At the moment, we are up 2.5 at 3.68 1/4. Beans were down 4 early, and now they have been up 7.5. They're up 6 1/4 right now to 8.64. And wheat was down 4 early. We've made new highs here, up 13.5 in December at 5.23 1/4. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities and Normal.
Thank you, Pete. We're live from the Bloomberg Newsroom. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are mixed at this hour. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
It's Travel Tuesday. Low-cost airlines making sure that you're not being penny-wise and pound-foolish.
General Motors is looking to make money by understanding its drivers' car radio listening habits.
A man is shot and killed in Chicago's Rogers Park neighborhood, the second similar killing there in the past 2 days.
A high school friend of Brett Kavanaugh has completed his interview with FBI agents investigating allegations of sexual misconduct by the Supreme Court nominee.
Markets are mixed this hour. The Dow is up 137 points. The NASDAQ down 4 and the S&P 500 up by about 5.
Clouds in Chicagoland throughout the day. We may get up about 70 degrees later on this afternoon. Tomorrow, beautiful sunshine and a high of 85. Right now, it is 60 degrees at O'Hare, 60 at Midway, and 64 degrees along Chicago's lakefront.
Well, let's talk about the markets for a few minutes here. They're a little sluggish. We're joined by Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. What is interesting you today about the markets, Chuck?
Well, we continue to see kind of a bit of a divided market. You've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 0.5%. And yet, when you look at the Russell 2000, which represents small cap stocks, that's down over 0.5%. And you saw that yesterday with the big move in the Dow Industrials, but also the Russell 2000 small cap index, I believe, was down over 1%. And what that tells me is that what we're seeing is really kind of a short-term trade, kind of a tariff relief trade, if you will. Small cap stocks typically are viewed as being less exposed to tariff problems because they don't have a lot of international business. And so now we've gotten some relief, at least with the new NAFTA money's flowing into some of those stocks and industries that the people were concerned about from a tariff perspective, and the money's flowing out of the small cap stocks. So that's what's kind of most interesting to me today, right?
Okay, and so let's extend it out. We were talking earlier about electric cars, and are they going to be able to do their business with the problems with the tariffs?
Well, yes. I mean, I think they will. The issue, I think, when it comes to electric cars, and obviously Tesla's kind of the big elephant in the room when it comes to that business, isn't so much the cars itself is the valuations of those stocks, such as Tesla. And I think on the one hand, tariff relief is good news for all the autos. On the other hand, you still look at that valuation of Tesla, and you're still a little bit concerned about it. So, I think that there's kind of two separate things here going on. One is, yes, it's good. I think the auto, and you saw it yesterday, autos and auto parts companies really had a nice day because of the new NAFTA agreement or potential agreement. But again, you still revert back to just valuation there, and that's at least from our view, that's problematic when it comes to Tesla.
What do you make of just recently? Seems like things have been going pretty well. The Fed chair today said it's almost too good to be true. And so the Fed is saying that it has some tools that it will use if things go sour. Are investors feeling positive about things these days?
Yeah, I think they're feeling positive. And I think you're starting to see kind of this creep come into the market about, when things are so good, how can they be much better? That's the type of thinking that coincides with tops in the market. When everything is great, everybody's bullish, all the news is good, it can only go one direction, and that's in reverse. And there does seem to be kind of a, I don't want to say a flood, but kind of a rapidly growing stream of naysayers coming into the market saying that, we're near a peak here and the market's, ready to decline, and they kind of throw in their the midterm election impact and things like that. At the end of the day, markets move in sustained ways based on three major engines, and those are corporate profits, interest rates, and inflation, and corporate profits being the most important one. And that, this market will swoon or continue to move higher based on corporate profits and how they meet expectations. So that's, a lot of that other stuff tends to be noise and day-to-day action in the market. But, whether this market sustains itself to the upside, it's going to begin with corporate profits and how they are in the fourth quarter, but especially how they are going to be in the first half of next year.
And in general, what are companies saying about what they expect from fourth quarter profits looking forward?
Yeah, I think the positive trends are in place. There is going to be, fourth quarter profits are going to be pretty good. The big question, I think, is what does 2019 hold? Because, companies put up a pretty high bar this year. They got a big kind of turbo boost from tax relief. Earnings are very good, but those very good earnings this year create comparison issues for next year. And if, in fact, that's going to be the case and we start to see kind of a slowdown or profits disappointing, if that's the expectation in the first half of the year, we're going to see that baked into the market before year end. So, the fourth quarter and the market performance here toward the end of the year, which typically is a seasonally strong period for the market, it's going to be very important because it's going to foreshadow kind of what I think is going to be the earnings story in 2019.
We've been hearing from people in the business that and many people think that 2021 will be years in which we'll start seeing a recession. I mean, can you really, does that work? Can you really anticipate the year?
Well, even if you could, you know, that's the type of stuff that people are saying. It's like, well, what am I supposed to do with that from an actionable standpoint? I mean, 2021, does that mean I should batten down the hatches now as an investor? You know, it probably, quite frankly, given the length that we've gone without a recession here in the last 10 years, although admittedly a large portion of that was at 1% to 2% growth. So it wasn't like we were blowing the doors off growth-wise. But, you know, could we have a recession in 2021? I mean, absolutely. But I'm not sure I start baking that into my portfolio and making investment decisions based on that right now. Because, you know, you're looking at 24, 36 months away and if it happens. And so I would not let that influence what I'm doing in my investments today.
2032, Chuck, is going to be terrible. I'm just warning you right now. Okay. Just so you know.
Yeah, I better sell stocks today then.
Chuck Carlson, always good to have you on the show. Chuck is CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter. Coming up, Travel Tuesday, taking a closer look at low-cost carriers on airlines.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour this afternoon, shining a spotlight on ultra-low-cost airlines. Ken Goldstein is joining us with KJG International Consulting here in Chicago. Ken, welcome back to the program. Is there a catch here for people who are looking to score a cheap flight? Is there a risk here?
Well, the only adage is always to be caveat emptor. In other words, buyer beware. And when it looks too good to be true, don't trust it. I did want to say I wanted to thank Chris for commenting about me doing the traffic. I think I'd prefer to stick to the airlines. More important is I think this is all started because Primera just basically went out of business. And it was a travel service primarily from the Nordic countries, Denmark and Estonia. And they've been in business for 14 years. They basically just went out of business. And the concern is, wait a minute, we went out of business at a last minute. We've got crew stranded, people stranded. How do we get back? So the discussion is where if we go look for a real low airfare between, say, the United States and Europe or somewhere else, how do we protect ourselves? Should we be traveling and all of a sudden that carrier goes bust? Fortunately, in the United States, we're somewhat protective because the carriers that are going here, the low-cost ones like Norwegian, WOW, etc., Eurowings or them, they're either part of other European carriers that have been in business a while, or if they were going to go out of business, we would know way ahead of time.
Now,
the second thing is most of the other carriers where the airlines have started low-cost carriers within themselves, like British Airways or Air France, they are within the airline or a member of another alliance, and the alliance will help usually the passengers get back.
Are we convinced that the ultra-low-cost carriers are safe?
Yes. If they're flying to and from the United States, without a doubt, and best example is Spirit, which is a low-cost carrier. Well, you may not like them because your knees are in your cheeks from the person in front of you, but the bottom line is in order to fly in the United States, they all have to pass the same test, which is basically the FAA Certificate of Airworthiness. And to fly, you have to be extremely safe. So there is no concern about safety. Where the concern is, wait a minute, if I spend this money on long-term and I'm trying to get the best deal, how am I going to protect myself? Now, you could try several ways, air travel insurance or trip insurance. Sometimes that'll work, sometimes it won't. Just like with cruises, you could use your credit card and say, I bought it this way, and I'll allow the credit card company to fight with the defunct airline. But either way, the bottom line is the same story. Buyer beware.
Ken, thanks so much for all the information. Ken Goldstein, KJG International Consulting here in Chicago. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, your car radio listening habits are of concern to at least one major automaker.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
General Motors has tracked the radio listening of drivers for 3 months. It's part of an effort to mine auto data. Let's learn more about this new frontier for car makers with Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter. And he joins us from Paris, live from the Paris Auto Show. Thanks for joining us today, Jeff.
I'm sure somebody in Paris is mining my data while we speak. So it seems to be the new thing.
What is the data? Who wants it and why?
Okay, first, it has to be said that GM asked these people permission, so they were not spying on them. So these people gave their permission, and GM figured, we've got all these connected vehicles with 4G connectivity. Let's see what we can find out. So they asked people if they could listen, just check out their radio listening habits. And they did, and with that kind of information, I mean, that controls you and me because they decide which radio stations they want to advertise based on, you know, who's listening to what radio station, and if they have the right kind of data, they can target it. If, for example, a Chevy buyer likes country, they can sell to a country station, and if a GMC buyer likes news, they can buy a lot of commercials on WBBM. So they can learn these things about people and target their advertising. It's been what companies have been doing for years, but now they have another scientific method to do it.
Are they still in the study stage, or are they going to start using it?
At this point, it's still in the study phase, but if you've got data, you've got to figure people are going to use it because there are people at these companies that make these decisions all the time. Now, like any other kind of data, you have to match it with what you know about the real world and what you know about how people behave, but I'm sure it's one other piece of data that they have along with the customer research clinics, things like that. They do, car companies do a ton of research because it's very expensive to develop a vehicle and they want to minimize flops.
Quickly, Jeff, any privacy issues here with drivers saying, hey, wait a minute, I didn't know you were paying attention to that stuff?
There's a lot of privacy issues, and that's why GM asked people to opt in. But who's to say that other companies, and I'm not even just talking about auto companies, will be that straightforward. But a company like GM, is, I'm sure, knows that they'd open themselves up to liability if they didn't ask permission.
Jeff Gilbert, always good to have you on the show. Enjoy Paris. Jeff Gilbert, CBS Auto
we
Reporter.
We could come and anchor with you.
Yeah, I think so, right? That'd be good. He's joining us from the Paris Auto Show. Check of the markets from Bloomberg next.
WVBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets now, powered by ComEd's Energy Efficiency Program.
Here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, we've got the Dow still higher by 161 points, or 0.2%, moving above 26,800. The NASDAQ lower by 6 and the S&P up 5. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is off a fraction. The 40th anniversary of the Bank of America Chicago Marathon happens in the next weekend. We're getting some numbers on the estimated business impact for the race. Last year, they say the race generated a record-setting $338 million in business impact to the city and the surrounding area. The 2017 race delivered a $56 million increase over the previous year. Coke may be into cannabis-infused drinks, but it's a no for Pepsi. The company's chief financial officer says the federal ban on marijuana makes it tough to invest in that growing industry. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.